Hey Dreamers, Joe here, and I am so proud to say that my wife Melissa and I have launched our first business together, MonthlyCardClub.com. When you become a member, you'll get high-quality, handcrafted birthday cards delivered to your door every month.
Are you making the cards yourself?
Oh yeah, everything. I use stamping up card stock, then depending on each card, we use some embossing folders. We use stamps, embellishments, and some punches.
Go to monthlycardclub.com/dream for a 20% discount on your membership or single card order today.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I am talking with Stephen Warley, who is making his dreams come true by being an entrepreneur who inspires others to become entrepreneurs so they can find freedom and work on their terms. Glad to have you on the show, Stephen.
Thanks so much for having me, Joe. I really enjoyed our conversation already off air, and I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
Yeah, I wish we kind of had recorded it.
That's always the way. We got to know each other, so that way we're going to have even a better flow now. So that's me. It's going to be good.
Yeah, it seems that way. Let's get started by asking you a question of what is your favorite book of all time?
Wow, that is a tough one. I read a lot of books, and I recommend them for lots of different reasons. I'm going to say not necessarily my favorite book of all time, but the book that sent me on this path that I'm now on, I've been on for 14 years, was Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
Awesome. Great answer. I've heard that answer on other shows. Somebody I've listened to has mentioned that book before.
It's actually been our most recommended book by our guests on our show. We've had about 140 guests on our show on Unstuckable, and it's been our most recommended book.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? I might have to give that book a try.
Oh, you haven't read it?
No. Well, I don't read a whole lot of books.
Oh, I forgot. But guess what? You just told me that. But it's a really quick read. It's very easy. And it's just a really easy story. It's just kind of comparing how we've all been taught to live kind of for those of us living in a middle-class lifestyle and the mistakes that we've been made or what we've been taught and how we can live more like somebody from a wealthier class and how they use their money. So it's just kind of a nice, quick, little, easy story to understand how most of us view money and how we spend it and make it versus how the wealthy do it.
That's very interesting. I am actually interested to see how they feel that way and whether or not it's maybe a little too stereotypical.
Yeah, I mean, it was my take of it. I think a lot of times we default to our credit cards to buy things that we're not prepared to buy instead of saving for it. You know, that was something I think our grandparents did, you know, from the Depression era. So it's just some basic things. You know, it's buying assets with assets instead of buying assets with liabilities, to be all financially geeky on you.
No, I'm a pretty big purporter on this show and in life in general about getting your expenses in order so you can follow your dreams. So I think that would definitely fall into that category.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of a great point. I want to kind of build on that. It's like it's great to dream. I mean, you want to dream, I want to dream. Totally want to encourage everybody to dream. But I think we're a message of your show and our show is that you can dream, but you do have to have a dose of reality and you have to have a good dose of a practical approach to that dream to make it come true. A little planning does not hurt you just to set yourself up for optimal success.
Yep. I say it as live for today, but plan for tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be in the moment.
So let's get started by giving some background about yourself.
Where would I begin? I often describe my career in three phases, employee, stuck, and entrepreneur. So I started off my career, my first job was at a public relations firm, but I really wanted to work in television. I was a history major, and I ended up getting a job at CBS News Sunday Morning, which was a fantastic experience. But even there, I just saw like the rungs falling off the corporate ladder like super quick. So I worked for about 5 years. I changed my job every year or two. Even my parents were, more my dad, who was like, man, when are you ever going to stick out at a place, you know, and stay there a while? I'm like, Dad, this is not how it's done anymore. So this is even the late 90s, early 2000s that was happening. And then I had an experience working at a .com and was laid off Election Day 2000, which I call my third most important day of my life. That was the beginning of my stuck period because I couldn't get a job very easily. I had been was able to get a job pretty easily in media in New York City at that time. But with the .com bust, things totally dried up. I was really kind of fumbling around. I kind of went through a lot of those traditional options, went back to business school, kept trying to find work. And then I started dabbling in entrepreneurship. I got so desperate for money, I took a freelance job. And during business school, I managed a website. It was the first time I kind of managed a profit and loss statement, a balance sheet, and really built a business under somebody else's guidance. And after 5 years, I kind of came out of that stuck phase and realized that, you know what, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I often call myself a reluctant entrepreneur. And I think the way our economy is going, there's going to end up being more reluctant entrepreneurs compared to intentional ones. So I began my journey. I did a lot of broadcast sales training for radio and television broadcasters all over the United States. About 4 years ago, at my height, I had an online sales training company called localbroadcastsales.com, made $500,000 a year. And then I decided to sell it in 2012 because what I learned in life, you know, I love working, but to really sustain me, it's not just about money. You know, once I made enough money to have a decent financial runway, I really needed something else to sustain me. And I really want to help people make an impact. And I just want to inspire others because how do you move from employee to entrepreneur? It's a different mindset. An employee is something that you were taught. Becoming an entrepreneur is something that you choose or decide to do. And they're very different lifestyles. They're different skills, different mindset, different perspective on the world. And that's really the heart of Unstuckable, that we really want to help with people through those transitions of how to do this. And that's really what I'm dedicating my life to now. And I'm working on this with my business partner, Chris Wilson. So that's the short answer.
Which, you know, it's funny. I thought that was funny that you used the term, when are you going to stick to something?
Yeah, I mean, it happens to us all. I remember being laid off. My father distinctly remember that. My father worked for AT&T for 30 years and for Bayer Pharmaceutical for 12. And I said, Dad, that's not even an option for me, especially in the media world. That was the media industry was already going through a lot of that change. Now I think it's become the norm. You know, I think anybody listening to this podcast right now, I'm sure Joe, I know myself, we all know somebody who's lost a job in the last 10 years and probably to outsourcing. And that's only going to continue. And we all have to kind of take a look, not only about are we being presented with an amazing opportunity to live our dreams in a way that we never could before, our previous generations couldn't, but it's actually going to be the way we're going to live and work, that we actually have to decide again, how are we going to sustain ourselves? Because I happen to be of the opinion that there aren't going to be large institutions, whether they're academic, government, military, private, that are going to create the high-paying jobs that we once were all used to. That is not meant to be pessimistic. I'm a realist, but I'm also a dreamer.
You know, I think that being a realist is important just as much as being a dreamer. That means that you've put some thought into it outside of just like, oh man, it's cool that if I did that. But I tend to agree with you about the idea that high-paying jobs probably aren't going to come from the government and, for the most part, need to come from within.
Or even corporate organizations. You know, I've read research that in the next 10 years, 40% of Americans are going to be independent contractors. That's a euphemism for self-employed. I was also just reading somewhere else that more Americans now work for themselves than ever before. And the cool thing is that it's the internet that's making this all possible, that there's all these niche little businesses that could have never have been financially viable even just 5 years ago that can be today, that you're creating a business about inspiring people to dream. We're creating a business inspiring people to get unstuck and to transition from employee to entrepreneurship. I'm sure you get that too, and I get this all the time, that there's a lot of people in our lives who are like, how are you ever going to make money doing that? Well, you know, we're the early adopters. You and I are trying to figure that out. And there are people who have blazed the trail for us, you know, like a Pat Flynn at Smart Passive Income, John Lee Dumas, Entrepreneur on Fire, who are doing it. And we are going to be creating these new models for other people to learn from.
Yeah, I mean, this is really just the beginning. And, you know, it's funny to say the beginning because podcasting's been around for 10 years. But I think that what wasn't there was the instantaneous downloading of files right to your phone anytime, anywhere you are.
I think it was the phone that really breathed new life into podcasting. That's how I got into it. You know, now that I could have Stitcher, which I think is a lot easier to use than iTunes, although iTunes has its place. But I started listening more podcasts because of Stitcher. You know, it gave me something to listen to in the car or when I was going for a walk or while I was exercising.
Yeah, definitely. I think especially I've noticed, like, I go to Disney World a lot, as my listener base knows. When I'm walking around the park by myself on those, you know, occasions where that happens, podcasts really fill that gap. You know, I'm around people, but I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not enjoying or sharing a conversation. So getting to listen to a podcast is like having just listening to somebody talk.
And you get to learn, right? Yeah. You know, I think it's a more productive use of your time. Not that I'm also a big advocate. You need your downtime. You need your time for your brain just to like kind of zone out, go somewhere else. Totally believe in that. But I think we are so distracted by so many different things throughout the day because of all these amazing media options available to us now. But I think what we all need to do now is recognize that it's kind of like we're information obese, right? We are gluttons on information and entertainment information. And we have to really start curbing that and understanding what is it that we're putting into our brains, and is that really helping us get to where we want to go? And if it's not, we need to kind of go on an information diet.
Information diet.
By the way, somebody has written a book. I always want to write a book called The Great American Information Diet, but somebody beat me to it. It's called The Information Diet.
That's one of those things that you got to, as soon as you think about it, you need to go research it and go do it and just get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. It just kind of really gives you such a different perspective on information. Like, I think of my dad's media habits growing up. You know, he listened to the radio in the car on the way to work. He listened to the radio while he was taking a shower at night, watched the evening news, read the newspaper at night. And it was kind of enough information scheduled to him because that's all that was available. Now, today, you and I are drowning in information, and we can consume it anytime we want and as much as we want. And that's a great thing, but also a detriment to us.
Yeah, I'd agree. So speaking of a glutton of information,
yes,
let's talk about how Unstuckable came about.
Yeah, I think it's like deep in my subconscious. I think that part of this journey, I've recently realized that it's about really listening to your inner voice in a more constructive way, your subconscious, your feelings and emotion, allowing them a place in your decision-making process. And this is, I think, the business that I have always wanted to do. I was always a person that wanted to know for myself. I was always a person that just wouldn't accept this is the way it is and how it's always going to be. And I love learning. I love experimenting. I love trying new things. And I think I was also just born at an amazing time with all this new technology now available to us to try all these new things and live in these different ways. So my business partner, Chris, and I, we met about 7 years ago, unlikely business partners. We're 10 years apart, never worked together, never lived near each other. And we came together through a mutual connection because we had a shared interest in saying, you know what, there's just got to be another way to work. Like, this whole 9-to-5 thing can't be the only way to work. And I think a lot of times when we also think of entrepreneurship, we think we have to own like a brick and mortar business. And it's a restaurant, it's going to be lots of hours, or we have to get a lot of VC money to have our tech startup. But as you know, now there's this whole other path that there's a lot of people becoming entrepreneurs that don't even think of themselves as entrepreneurs, but they also want to make just enough money to sustain their lifestyle. And that time is actually more important to them than money. With that, Chris, we kept talking and then finally decided, you know, it's time for us to come together around an idea here. We are actually trying to research a whole bunch of other business ideas, but we kept coming back to this one. He's like, well, what do you really want to do? And I said, I want to help people get unstuck. He's like, well, what do you mean by that? I said, I just had this gut feeling. I think a lot of people don't know what they want to do, or they know that they don't want to do what they're currently doing. And I want to help them through that process because I do believe everybody has a purpose, a mission, and it might change throughout their lives. And I want to help them figure that out. and do it in maybe different ways. Maybe not through a traditional life coach or business coach kind of way, or just go back to school. Like those very traditional options. Maybe there's another way for us to be coming together to figure it out together. And I think that's really the idea behind Unstuckable. We started out as a podcast. I mean, I've had a lot of experience with video. I had a background in television. I've done a lot of writing. But I had not experienced audio. And I love this medium. You get to have these amazing, interesting conversations with people. I've learned so much. That was kind of we launched on April 1st. And I've learned so much from our audience. So it's really about soaking them up and listening to their amazing stories about how they got themselves unstuck. And we interview lots of different types of people because there's so many different work paths, so many different ways of working that we want to expose people to that. Because, Joe, I think a lot of times people don't see other options because they just see their immediate social circle and what they're doing. And the world of podcasting, as we were, you know, just discussing, it really can give you an opportunity to learn and expose yourself to new perspective, new ways of doing things that might make more sense to you than the way you're currently living your life or the people around you and the way that they're living their life.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked about this on Latter-day episodes about how you need to find a new set of friends, you know, not forget the old ones.
Absolutely. I call it your adoptive family. You know, you're hanging out with like-minded people, like people who are doing what you want to do or living the change that you want to be. Like a lot of times I know when we talk about change, there's all these like checklist, to-do list types of things. And that works for some people. But I think for more people, just kind of putting yourself on more fertile ground will inspire you to want to change. And one of the easiest things you can do is be intentional about seeking out people who are doing what you want to do that really get you excited. They talk about stuff that you're interested in a way that nobody else in your immediate life will. I mean, when I went, Chris and I went to NMX Live, the formerly Blog World, the podcast conference in Vegas in January. Did you go to that one?
No, I was not there.
So we went to that in January, just on a whim. We found it in like mid-December. We were thinking about going into a conference. And I'm like, you know what? This seems like the podcasting conference at the time to go to. So we went and it was an amazing experience because we got to hang around with all these people doing what we were about to do. We learned so much so quickly that really got us kickstarted so much more quickly than anything else that we could have done on our own. And a lot of times it's come out in our interviews that actually taking a trip, traveling, going to a conference and hanging out with those people, it's a very transformative experience. When you think about it, you're getting away from all of your daily influences, all your social connections, and you're kind of a clean slate to expose yourself to all these new influences to take root. So that way, when you go back home, you can be a little bit more committed, more empowered to kind of, you know, take that first step on that path that you want to go down toward your dream.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been to plenty of conferences and stuff like that. And it is always empowering, especially to talk to like-minded people doing like-minded things. It, you know, you come back with like a whole new energy, a whole nother wind of like, okay, now I got to do this. And I heard about this and I got to investigate about that. And like, I have my list, my checklist of like, got to check out, got to find out more about things I never even heard of before. So yeah, I think you stated it very well.
And the miracle of the web allows you to keep in touch with all these people that through other mutual connections, we arrived to connect with each other. And now we'll keep talking with each other, helping each other out. And I think that's the cool thing about this new economy that it's been so awesome to like help so many people and not worried about, oh, how much am I going to pay them? Am I giving away too much for free? And then realizing that it will all come back to you. You know, it really is a kind of a karma economy. Not saying that I'm like a 1960s hippie and I'm like, I don't care about money at all. Of course I do. You know, I have to sustain myself. Chris and I want to sustain Unstuckable so we can grow, so we can help more people. That is being practical. But at the same time, it's nice being in. I love doing this way of doing business compared to the traditional way where everybody's nickel and diming each other. It seems like everybody's trying to stab each other in the back. Everybody's in competition with each other. And I don't know about you, Joe. I just feel like in the podcasting world or even in the online world, there's so many people that are just willing to help you out.
I think part of that's because it hasn't really arrived yet.
I'm dreading that day.
What? You're dreading the day that it's arrived?
That we all become like backstabbers and overcompetitive. And I think there's so many different niches and so many different communities that you can really find your niche. You can find your community that hasn't been heard, hasn't been served before. So that way, I think the traditional mindset of business is that you could only win if somebody else loses. You define yourself by your competition. And I think in this new world, you define yourself by the community that you serve and the needs that they have and really listen to them. And when you do that right, you can think of the products and services that need to be solved. They'll tell you, and they can go create that product and service and sell it back to them.
You know, the other thing that you said about the karma economy, you know, obviously...
I just came up with that one. I'm sure it's written about it out there somewhere. I don't know. This popped into my head.
Well, it was, it's definitely a smart way of looking at it. And I think everything will come back. You know, you just got to stick with it.
It does. It really does.
As unstuckable as you are.
Yeah, it does. You know, and especially now everything's out there. Why am I going to like screw somebody over? Like they'll put it out into the web and that's just going to be bad word of mouth. Like why do that? It's a waste of energy because that's something we're always talking about Unstuckables. Really, we want to help people. If you want to make a big change in your life, you have to kind of get self-control and control over your own life. And that means really aligning your limited personal time, energy, and money toward your goal. And so like, why be angry unnecessarily at somebody? That means you're wasting part of your energy that day or that hour that could go toward building your business or working toward your dream.
Or just being happy.
Or just being doggone happy. Hey, by the way, what's your dream?
My dream. Well, it's independence. It's doing creative things and helping people achieve their dreams through any means that I'm capable of, whether it's creativity or my entrepreneurship and helping them with my experience. That's I don't know how that works out in the money economy, but in the karma economy, I'm feeling pretty good about it.
that's good. And how do you? Sorry to flip the microphone on you right now, but that's all right. I'm just curious. How do you define freedom?
Oh, man. I guess being able to work when I want to work and being able to say, hey, I went hard this weekend, did a whole bunch of things and saw a bunch of people I love and enjoy to be around. And you know what? Monday, I'm going to sleep in.
Yeah.
I might be up late, but I'm going to just take it easy on Monday. That's my weekend, Monday. And then go hard, you know, Monday night into Tuesday and Tuesday into Thursday, you know, to Wednesday and then Thursday and Friday. And then
sometimes I don't even know what day of the week it is. I feel like a retiree.
I live around a bunch of retirees and they're all like, when are you gonna get a job? And I'm like, I'm trying not to.
You know what's funny? I remember my parents, they retired. They went to Florida. I was 30 at the time, and I was like in a good groove with my business for the first time. And I spent 2 weeks with them in December. And we're all just sitting on their lanai at the table or something like that. And I'm like, look at us. We're all retired. And they just like looked at me. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, hey, I'm living my life however I want. And so are you. And they're like, huh, interesting.
So something that's come up to me through this process of you know, leaving my family's business and everything, you know, every day I get to live my dream is one less day I have to be unhappy doing something that makes me unhappy.
Yes. Can we put a challenge to your listeners right now? If you are feeling unhappy now, right now, doing something you want to do, I know you probably have obligations. You got to pay your mortgage. You got to take care of your family. We get that. But do yourself a favor. You have our permission and deserve to be happy. You'll be a better parent. You'll be a better spouse. You'll be a better colleague. Right, Joe?
Yeah. And sometimes people just need that permission. I mean, they don't – I know I look for permission. I look for permission for success and for permission for all these things that it's like I've been trying to bend my thought process into not needing that permission, giving myself that permission and taking and empowering it to say I can do all this stuff and I don't need somebody else's permission to not just do it but to succeed at it.
Yes.
And I think people should just take one step. And people have said it on the show in the past, guests and everything, but you know, taking that one step every single day, even if it's just a small step, even if it's just looking up something about a school or looking up something about a business you might be interested in.
Couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that on Unstuckable, one of the questions we ask every single one of our guests, we're like, what's one quick action step you can recommend to our listeners to get unstuck? Because that is at the heart of what this is about. And even if you do something that takes less than 5 minutes, it's not about like, ooh, I got a lot done today or not. It's about that you did do something, you thought about it, and you made room for it in your life today. And I think that's the part of it. I think a lot of times people keep their dream locked up, trapped in their head, and you got to let it out. You got to work toward it. You got to tell people about it. You got to write about it. You got to let it out of your head so it becomes part of your life and part of your identity.
Well, the dream turns into one step. Make it happen. And that's the problem. That's the biggest mistake and problem you can have because it's not one step. It's thousands of steps.
Yeah, every day, as you know, it'll never end.
Yeah, and it's hopefully it does never end.
And actually, it's kind of the good thing. You want the steps to like build momentum and snowball, and you want to have an accountability buddy or partner. You know, somebody that can hold your feet to the fire and saying, "Why didn't you get to these? You committed to this last week, and you said you were going to do it, but you didn't." Or, you know, if you start to build an audience with your business or whatever media product you have, you know, tell your community that you're going to do something and give it a deadline and commit to it, you know, because then you've obligated yourself to the people that you want to help. So that's a great way to motivate yourself in a positive way.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes that can be very expensive, like, you know, the mastermind groups and stuff like that. But it doesn't have to be that way. It
doesn't have to be. Anybody ever wants to contact me, like I always tell you, there's the $1 million way of doing things and there's the free way of doing things. But you can always do it.
Sometimes you get what you pay for, though.
Well, no, it's about, because a lot of times I believe in, you have to prove the habit. I think a lot of times people look to the tool or the service as the solution. But first, you have to look at the habit. And are you going to commit to the free version and actually do it, even if it's not the best version? And then once you prove yourself that you can do that, then you can upgrade and you can get the tool or the service that is going to make the habit better.
I think that's a great way to look at it, man.
You know, because it's kind of like if you're like Chris will say, he was trying to become a pro cyclist. You know, instead of like saying, I want this next bike, he had to really focus on his workout routine and work at that first. And when truly he can make the argument that he did everything possible on that bike with his body, then he could graduate to a better designed bike.
Sometimes I think that it's not always necessarily the case. It depends. But yeah, if you're even a little bit shaky on the idea that, you know, whether or not you can carry the weight of having an accountability buddy or a bicycle in the first place, and the startup cost is not too much to begin with, then you're not wasting your money. Say like going from level one of something to level five, but level there's the price disparity is say like $500, and it's like, yeah, well, I could get the entry for say $50 versus level five that's $500, and versus if the level one is say $300, but for another $200, I could just get the best one and be done.
And you know what, Joe? Here's the other thing. People don't even have this conversation with themselves. I think that's another huge point that you and I are making. Most people are just like, okay, this miracle thing is going to make me an entrepreneur. Great, I'll buy it. It's $2,000. Woohoo. But we're asking you to really understand it, to be an entrepreneur, it's about, or to live your dream, it's about really understanding how you're using your money. What's the best, most effective way you can use your hard-earned money.
Hold on a second. I think the weight loss industry is at my door. They're not happy.
By the way, nobody should ever go on a diet. It's about changing how you eat permanently. It's a lifestyle choice.
Yep. Get out and just go jogging, walking, crawling.
Or whatever your body type calls for. But be honest with yourself, you know, really. Like I was talking to you before, like, I've been very blessed in my life. I have crazy genes where I've never had to worry about gaining weight. But sometimes I actually have to worry about keeping it on. But I'm very aware of my energy levels. And currently, I'm trying to be a little bit more aware of when I have sugar. I'm not cutting out sugar in my life totally. But I have found that if I have any kind of sugar after 7 o'clock at night, it totally affects my sleep. And I don't sleep as well. I almost feel like I have a slight little hangover in the morning. And so that's something I'm a little bit aware of, because as an entrepreneur and, you know, I'm kind of the full-time guy in our business right now, I want every scrap of extra energy that I can to put toward this business.
Yeah. You know, having energy, that's one thing. Like when I was getting started with the show, I was doing a lot of late nights, 2-3 in the morning. My neighbor's across the street. She gets up to go to the bathroom at like 1-3 in the morning, and she'd be like, Joe's still up. And but then she, you know, I'm over there a couple weeks ago, and she's like, you know, I notice your light's not on anymore past like midnight. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to get to sleep early so I can wake up earlier and do all this other stuff, and then I'm not like sleeping in and feeling all like, you know, groggy the next morning. And that's really important. Though I will admit, when I start working on my book, I probably will go into that completist mode and be working super late nights. But I'm preparing for that now by getting lots of extra sleep.
Yeah, I mean, there's something when you want to work for yourself, you know, taking care of yourself and working for yourself, they are not mutually exclusive. They are integrated. They go hand in hand. That a lot of times when people we just interviewed, I was talking to you about the Listen Money Matter guys, Andrew Fiber and Matt Giovanessi. And he was talking about, Matt, when he decided he got laid off and he decided he wanted to work for himself, that he introduced all these changes into his life in terms of his health, his energy, how he used his money, where he lived, because he brought that all into alignment so he can really live on his terms, so he can really be free. And I think a lot of us, when we get dependent on that biweekly paycheck, we don't necessarily think about how we spend our money all the time or how we're using our energy. We just know like that money's going to keep flowing in. So we just kind of, we have a default setting, whether we realize it or not. But when you don't have that and that's all cut off and you are on your own, I think that's the freedom. I think we all want freedom, but as you know, with freedom comes a lot of responsibility because there's going to be nobody over you, no structure, no team that's going to tell you what to do. It has to be self-directed. It has to come from within, not necessarily just from external forces.
You know, I forget who I was listening to, but they were saying that just because you make that step to become an entrepreneur and work from home every day and stuff like that, going from, say, a 9-to-5 job, doesn't mean that your work habits are all automatically going to change or automagically change.
So true.
And that's something I had to learn because, you know, like,
it takes a lot of time. You're deprogramming yourself.
Well, yeah. I mean, like at lunchtime, after lunchtime, you know, at the 9-to-5, you generally want, I would love to go take a nap. I wish I could, you know, when I was working the 9-to-5 deal.
Oh, I do now. Do you take naps in the afternoon?
I, you know, sometimes I do. It depends on what I got going on. But, you know, sometimes, yeah, I will take a half hour, 45-minute nap.
But don't you feel amazing and they can do so much more work after when you wake up?
Yes. Yes, I do. And, you know, people are probably like cursing at us right now.
The Spanish are their siesta. They got it right, man.
That's very true. But yeah, it's not an everyday thing because there's, you know, sometimes I have a lot of things I need to do. But yeah, so, you know, that's just sometimes it's like, hey, I could take that nap. And at work, you know what? You're not going to do much anyway unless you absolutely have to.
It's so true. And not only can you not take the nap, it is so frowned upon. You know, it's like, it looks like you're being unproductive. But when you live in our world now, the world of entrepreneurism or self-directed lifestyle, it's actually a productivity booster, in my opinion, because it makes me fresher. I can actually be more effective when I wake up from that nap instead of just, like, you know, just wandering through the rest of the day like I probably would if I didn't get that nap.
Yep. And then you're not being any more productive anyway, no. Regardless at that 9-to-5. And that's the thing that they don't understand. Some people will go take naps in their car or whatever for lunch. And I couldn't personally do that. But you know, I think that you have to make that decision that, like, okay, just because I'm going to take a nap now doesn't mean when I wake up, I'm not going to do any work.
And I just wanted to add another point because you brought up such a great point of, like, when you start beginning this lifestyle, you're going to default to your habits because for many of you listening, it's been years. This is how you've worked, the 9-to-5 lifestyle. So you don't know any other way. So you are going to default. You're going to feel obligated to still work 8 hours a day and you're going to still be on that clock. And that's normal, as Joe just said. But what I want you to do is start, and this is a key unstuckable habit that we've observed, that I want you to start keeping some sort of a journal, writing something down. It doesn't have to be anything formal. You could just write a couple of quick sentences a day just about your work needs. Just take note of, when do you like to work? How do you like to work? What motivates you to work? Do you like being around people? Do you need to go to a coffee shop? Are you a morning worker? Are you an evening worker? Do you need to work like in 30-minute increments and then take a break every 5 minutes? Just really start experimenting with that and really being aware, because this is the first time in your life since your mom sent you off to kindergarten that you get to decide how your entire day goes down. You've never had that before. And it's a hard nut to crack, and it's something that's going to take time to figure out. But a way to do it is just to track some patterns and to write them down at least on a daily basis.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, that's just like scientists.
Yes. You have to like know yourself, because you don't know how you like to work. Like even, you know, Chris and I will talk about it. He's like, honestly, I really don't know how I like to work or what my optimum work style is, because I've never had the opportunity to discover it. I've always been kind of told or given these other parameters that I had to fit into.
Yeah, it's difficult to break that habit once you're in it. Even though you may not like it, it's difficult to break that habit. And it's difficult to really, I guess, hold yourself accountable and figure out how to hold yourself accountable. Because you are your own boss at that point. like I said, you know, you could take that nap, but you need to wake up and you need to go do things, and things need to still get done regardless.
I mean, I used to feel guilty. You know, I was like, oh, I got to work at least 8 hours. But then I was like getting my work done for the day in 3 to 4 hours because I had none of the crappy distractions. In the times of day that I would have just been talking to my coworkers or wandering around, I could be doing laundry and housework and getting all that crap done. So I had more free time at other parts of my week. So I think that these are all things that you would feel. And it's really about what is it that you want to get done that day, focusing on that. And because what you also have to break yourself of, it's not about being valued about how much time you're seen in an office. It's about the quality and the output of your work.
Definitely. And I know that some companies have decided to do that where it's like, if you work in the office, I think Best Buy was trying it for a while where it's like not the hours, you know, it's not the 9 to 5, you work on the hours that you can, and it's about the output of work that you get done. But I think Best Buy has rescinded that since they started.
I know, it's so unfortunate. Yahoo rescinded, you know, kind of their telecommuting policies, and even Google has pulled back. They used to allow their workers to spend like, I think, 5% or 10% of their time on a project unrelated to their work. And I just, one thing, I having experienced this, and I know everybody's different, but for me at least, I do other activities that aren't related to Unstuckable throughout the day, whether it's gardening, walking our dog, going for a bike ride, yoga. And these are all things that I don't view as separate from my work necessarily. Actually, I think they facilitate my thinking. They settle me down. They allow my brain to like chew on a problem that I'm having and actually add to the quality of my work. And I just wish traditional corporations or businesses could see that and commit to it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when you say that again. I think there's probably people screaming at us. It's like, how do they get to live the life that
hey, you can't do? Yeah. It's hard. It's a hard life, right, Joe?
Well, it doesn't sound very hard doing walking the dog and doing yoga.
No, but it is a hard because you do have to make things happen, because there are times where I am working my butt off to meet a deadline, to do a launch, but then I can take a break after that, right? There's a lot of ebbs and flows, peaks and valleys. It's not always the same consistent intensity. And the other huge difference is I have control over that intensity level, when it goes up, when it goes down, how I can schedule my workload throughout the year. When you work for somebody else, you don't have control over that. You know, it's all somebody else is deciding the work intensity. That's the difference.
I'm actually really curious how your family took it when you decided that you were going to start being an entrepreneur rather than a 9 to 5 corporate ladder climber.
Well, I'm very lucky because I think this is a great little case study. Two different perspectives. My father initially did not understand it because he was somebody who was taught, you know, you're going to go to get this job. You're going to be there for 30 years. They're going to give you your benefits, your 401k, your pension, the whole nine yards. We now know that whole thing is evaporated. Even for public employees, that's going away. So my mom, on the other hand, amazing financial mind. My parents, I would say, are both blue collar workers, but my mother has an amazing, naturally genius financial mind. Like, this woman could stretch a dollar like nobody I've ever met since. And I remember graduating from business school and I was up for a job at MTV. It was going to MTV 2, I think, if they still have that channel. And there was going to pay $90,000. It was the most money I would have ever made in my life by far. And I was really struggling at that point because I started having I was kind of like that fourth year of accepting entrepreneurship. And I had some other loose opportunities about going in that direction. And I was running some numbers with her. And when I really ran the numbers of taxes, like even if I made less money, say $75,000 a year with tax benefits, I would have had more take-home pay. And I would have gotten to do what I wanted to do. And the other thing I remember saying to my mom is like, you know what, Mom, you know me. I'm going to work hard. She's like, yep, that's who we are. She's like, if I'm going to work this hard, I'm just going to own myself. She's like, yep, you probably should. And I was very lucky because I had one parent that worked it out with me and looked at it from different perspectives. And really, even though she was never an entrepreneur herself, she knew already that was going to be the best path for me for how I like to work. And I am so appreciative of that because I think it is really hard when you want to go on these new paths and these new journeys that your parents don't understand, or maybe your spouse doesn't understand, but you know you have to do it anyway. It's hard. I'm not going to say that it isn't.
Yeah, I think that's awesome that your mom understood, not only understood, but was willing to help you along with that journey. I'm assuming your dad eventually came along for the ride.
Yeah, I mean, I think they know, like I always say, they'll joke, they're like, we have no idea what Steven does, but he's happy and he never asks us for money.
That's a good...
you know? And I never did. And I really pride myself on that. I never asked them for loans. I never asked them for any kind of financial support. When I was laid off, within those first few months at the age of 26, I realized it was a wake-up call. Like, gosh, I have to take care of myself financially. It was a wake-up call. And it's like, how am I going to do this? I don't want to just... Because this is the... Joe, what most people do is they tie their spending to their income. If their income goes up, so does their spending. Mine doesn't do that anymore. Like my spending is the same year after year, around $55,000 a year, even when, you know, like Carrie and I are married now 2 years. So that way, if I make a lot more money, which I did than $55,000 this year, that money is going to go into the bank. And it's there to build up our runway. Because the more kind of financial backing you have for yourself, the more confidence that you have yourself. So that way, you know, Chris and I are able to take a little bit longer building on Stuckable than if we had to make money day one, although we do want to start making money next year. But those are some of the choices that it gives you. And I think that those are the things that when you kind of adopt an entrepreneur mindset, you really start to think about, you know, where the heck is my money going? And I think that's one of those simple habits we've learned in Stuckable. If you could just start actively tracking your finances by writing them out in a journal or using an app like Mint, do it. See where the heck your money's going.
Yeah, a lot of people probably don't realize where their money is going. And
no idea.
And it adds up very quickly. You know, that $5 coffee is $5 times five.
You know what, Joe? I always say, like, everybody knows how much money they made last year, but nobody knows how much money they spent last year. And I think that's the more important number.
It is. It is, especially to help you build up that runway, like you said. It's really important to know your expenses and then reduce your expenses wherever possible and whenever possible.
And then when you know what you want to do and you have this dream, it's a lot easier to say, yeah, I'm going to cut down on some of the restaurants or going out for drinks with my friends, or, you know, maybe I could sell my car and buy a used car and that'll save me money. Or if I'm renting, maybe I can live in another part of town for a little while. All of a sudden, those decisions that you thought you never would do in a million years all of a sudden become obvious, and you actually want to do them because you know why you're doing it. So when people say, well, why are you going to drive around in a jalopy now? Why are you going to live in that part of town? All of a sudden, because I'm an entrepreneur now and I'm building this business and that is my priority and it's really important to me and I need to cut my expenses. And people are like, oh, okay, now I get it. I see you're not just being a cheap SOB.
Well, you give them the reasons. That's what it comes down to.
And you asked before about parents, and I think it's an important point. I think when people don't understand the new path that you're going on, the business that you're trying to create, or it takes a while to make money in some of these new business models, I think what people want, they just want to know that you're going to be okay, that you have a plan, and you have certain reasons. So the best way that you can explain it, and you might have to say that you're going to talk differently to your mom and dad compared to your grandparents or your colleagues or your friends. So whatever language you can use that they can understand that you're going to be okay, you're really doing what you want to do, and you're happy, and explain it in a way that they can get, that is the way to go. And then they'll have you on board and you're going to tap into their supportive energy that way.
Definitely. I mean, I always say that people don't always have the vision that you have, but
absolutely.
It can get very frustrating, obviously, for lots of people. So when you got started with Unstuckable, what was the first steps you started? What were the first steps you took?
I took, yeah. So Chris and I, it was September of 2013. We're like, we have this idea. We're like, all right, step one, we got to talk to people. So in one weekend, we lined up 20 interviews. They were about a half hour to hour each, asking people about their careers. What did they want to do? Why did they want to become an entrepreneur? Why had they been thinking about it? What's stopping them from doing it? Why are they afraid? All these different questions. From a all day Saturday, all day Sunday, we came away and we're like, there's something here. Like, they already started to emerge that there was a need that people truly wanted to work in a different way. They just didn't know how to do it, right? There really wasn't the resource. And that's the conundrum I've always faced in 14 years. A lot of people have been like, you always seem so happy. You're doing so much travel. You're doing all these things. You rent out your apartment. You go live in Spain for 4 months. Like, how do you do all this stuff? And I wanted to tell them, I really wanted to turn over the playbook to say, this is how you do it. And that's when Unstuckable is going to be for me. I'm finally going to be able to say, here are the habits. Here's the actions. Here's what you need to do to re-engineer your life, to transform yourself, to go off on this path, if that's what you truly want. And what I say to people, yeah, for a couple of years, it's pretty tough because you're going through lots of big changes. You're making a change. You're redirecting the course of your life. But once you get through that process, you have control of your system and the direction of your life forever. I have control over how this goes down. I have control how much money comes in and out. I could see if any of my business or income streams are declining, and that way I can do something about them well in advance of losing all my money. I remember during the economic meltdown of 2008, working for myself, everybody always thinks you have it the worst. They're like, oh God, how's business, Stephen? How are you doing? And I actually started my online sales training business that year, local broadcast sales. And I said, never better. Business is awesome, because I was doing online sales training. So I was taking all the money that people used to spend on in-person trainers, which used to cost a lot of money. So I actually came up with a solution of how you can still do training for less at a time when the people hiring me were looking for ways to cut money. So I was doing really, really well. And I always said to people, maybe about that time, 2008, 2009, I had about 50 clients. I said, your job represents one client. If you lose that all at once, get laid off, you've lost all of your money the next day. Now, can I lose all of my 50 clients in one day? It's possible, but it's not probable. I'm always going to be losing a few and adding a few. And that's really the genius. So I'm always looking for new income opportunities. I think when people have a job, they don't look for a job. They don't look for new opportunities. They kind of get stale. And even when you have a job, you should be open, constantly connecting. That's one thing we've learned at Unstuckable. Constantly be learning, constantly be connecting. So that way you can always see new opportunities and you can have options if you lose your job in that event or when you decide that you want to become an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I mean, it's the old 80-20 rule there. You know, totally. 80% of your business comes from 20% of your customers, and try to fight to make that so that's not the case. Because, or, you know, if 20% of your customers is only two or three customers, then the chances of losing them are that much greater.
And another way to use the 80-20 rule, if you're spending 80% of your time that represents 20% of your income, you should cut them, get rid of them.
Yep.
And you should every year, every spring, I purged. I would actually get rid of a few clients. I would pass them off to other businesses or say it was time to end the relationship, all very nicely, try to help them out. But I knew not just to take the money if they were sucking up my time. Because that's another thing that people don't realize. It's when you're working for yourself, one of the most important measures for success is not your total income, but it's your hourly rate. Because that gives you a ratio of your limited time versus the money that you're making. And you want to see your hourly rate be, you know, increasing, going up. And that's how I went from in-person speaking, where I was on planes all the time, to an online sales training business, where I could not only get off, you know, I wiped out all the time I was spending traveling, but then I could sell the same training over and over again to the same clients.
Well, yeah, I think time is the most precious resource. I mean, it's well known and documented that time is the most precious resource that we have, because you can't get any more of it. And I really think that you're really right on about increasing the amount you're getting per hour on a steady climb, because you can't get any more hours in a day.
No.
You can only get more dollars, and you know the more in your demand, it's supply and demand, and you can demand more money because you're high in demand.
And as a dreamer, as an entrepreneur, we have endless ideas, endless things that we want to do or could do. So you have to have some mechanisms that prevent you from trying to do everything. So you have to do the things that have the most impact, that have the focus, that are going to make you the most money.
Definitely. And that's really, I was just telling somebody the other day about how hard that is to figure out which projects to actually work on. Like I'm constantly coming up with ideas for other shows or books or this or that, things I want to do. But it's like to have that filter to be like, okay, I'm just going to write this idea down and put it into Evernote. And maybe I'll come back to it someday. Maybe I won't. Maybe someone will come up with it before I get to work on it. But the point is at least I wrote it down. I can maybe go back to it. So what's the biggest roadblock that you've hit along the way during your entrepreneurship?
I would say I went through a pretty big roadblock this year. It was my lowest hourly rate this year of my 14 years. I went into a very dark place and was probably depressed for the first time in my life. And the cool thing about the experience was I think it allowed me to put myself in a place for the people that I'm trying to serve, how stuck that they feel, how hopeless that they feel. And really kind of somehow the universe was forcing me to live in their shoes for a while. And it's tough, man, when you're feeling like that. And I also learned a lot about myself in terms of I'm going through a huge transition from one business to another, even though I've been doing this for a long time. But the difference, I think, of somebody like me in my state versus somebody else, I have a lot of tools that I was very aware that this was happening. It was at a level I'd never experienced before, but I knew that it was happening and I knew I had to do something about it. So I was very conscious of looking for triggers, trying to look for patterns of what was causing this and bringing me into this place. And I was able to slowly start unraveling and figuring some of those things out and was able to climb out of that hole. And I know so much more, you know, personally and professionally, but I think that's what we're trying to provide people at Unstuckwell, that set of habits, those mechanisms, so that way when they get really stuck or they're feeling like a failure, they're feeling really overwhelmed, they can go back to that set of habits, get some calm, get some comfort, so that way they can build awareness, be accountable, and take action again. And that's what I was able to do.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to get out of that.
Oh, man.
It's tough, isn't it?
Anybody knows me, like, I'm a super positive guy, you know, to be like, and I was not in a good place. And I was saying to my wife, I'm like, gosh, I feel horrible. Like, there's people who feel like this all the time. Like, it's terrible. Like, how do you make it stop? But I figured it out. And everybody has to figure out their own little riddle of what, you know, I think that's a big part of this is like, it really makes you vulnerable and you really have to learn about yourself. You have to face the music of like, what are your demons? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What do you really want to do? How do you want to spend the rest of your life on this earth? And only you has the answer to that. And only you can control that.
Now that we've gotten the darkest moment.
Let's bring them back up, Joe.
Out of the way. Let's talk about your most favorite memory from your entrepreneurship.
I think this is not a surprise. It's still this year before the darkness came, like this summer. It was the winter and spring, and it is this fall again. Because I mean, I think a lot of people always say that, like, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn. I know that sounds corny and cheesy and been said time and again, but there's a lot of truth to that. And because I've allowed myself, I was cruising along on some great money for a long time. And I could have done it for another 10 years. I could have totally checked out and been on autopilot and just collected like pretty good money. But I knew I wasn't going to be happy. Money wasn't everything. And that's why I decided to make these very intentional changes in my life to start a new business, because it's forced me to reassess myself, keep an edge, keep learning. Because I think a lot of times, I was saying I turned 40 this year. I think when you get to that 40, 50-year-old part of your life, you kind of think like, isn't this the time where I get to coast and check out and like, you know, reap the rewards of all my hard work? Unfortunately, I think we're moving into an economy where that's no longer the case. So you have to find joy in what is going to make you want to keep learning, what's going to make you want to keep meeting new people, trying new things, experimenting with new things. I'm glad my Unstuckwell journey has given me that. I've learned so much so fast. I've met so many awesome, interesting people like yourself, and I want to keep doing this, man.
Well, I'm on that journey too, and I want to keep doing it myself.
We are. We're going to figure it out.
Yeah, we are. And I'm not backing down. That's one thing I don't usually do is back down. It's very bullheaded of me, but
because as we figure it out, we're inspiring others to figure it out, and that's really what I want to do.
Yeah, definitely. So what do your dreams for the future look like?
I have one of my 2015 goals is something I've always wanted to do. I call it, I want to monetize my habits. I want to be in my true workflow where I don't, you know, I have healthy stress, but I don't feel like I'm doing things that I'm necessarily not designed to do or really not good at. I really want to have the courage to farm those things out or just not do them if I can. So I love reading, I love writing, I love creating content, I love having conversations like this. These are the things that I'm good at, and I'm good at setting up structures. But I want to be able to focus on that. That's kind of like, I know it seems like that's a dream of yours. Yes, and I've always had my ongoing dream. I've always wanted to be able to work. My work requirement is that I have to be able to do my job from anywhere in the world, so that way I can. And I want to get Unstuckwell to a point that it's financially successful or moderately financially successful, so our basic financial needs are being met, so I can totally move out of broadcasting and really, you know, kind of have it all. Like, I'm helping people, I'm doing something I want to do, and I'm getting paid to do it. you know, and I have an awesome wife and an awesome dog, and we love hiking, we love gardening, we love traveling, and I have no regrets. I have a great, amazing life. I just want to help other people learn how that they can do it too, and they deserve it. And in fact, I think a lot of times people think when you live your life in this way, it seems potentially very selfish. Like, who are you to say that you want to have all this stuff? But one thing I've learned is that I actually feel like I'm helping more people. I'm a more positive influence, that most of my work is really more focused on helping more people than anything I've ever done in the past.
I mean, that's one of the greatest feelings that you can get, is positive feedback from people that you've helped, and they're real people with real life problems and real life fears and doubts and all the crazy stuff that goes along with this journey we call entrepreneurship. And I think that being able to help people is a great thing, and being able to make money from it is not such a bad thing. You know, when you think about like a psychologist or a therapist, like, yeah, they're there to help people. That's one of the reasons they get in, but they're still making like $120, $150 an hour.
Yeah.
And people pay it. And people find help through it, you know?
Well, a lot of times, sometimes that investment also saves that person a lot of money or heartache in the future. You know, these are all investments. You know, I always tell people, like, think about how much your last college course cost you, you know, depending on when you went to school. It was a lot of money. And like, what have you used or are you remembering from that college course? And so when you think about some of the things that you can buy to learn some life skills that can truly impact your life and really help you get to where you go, it's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, definitely. And as long as you, as we talked earlier, put them to good use.
Yes.
Because, you know, you could pay for it or you could get it for free, but if you're not going to put it to good use, then it doesn't matter anyway. So, Stephen, is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
Yeah. I'm just so excited after a year of really understanding and absorbing some of these habits that we've learned and actions that people take to get unstuck and to really live a life on their terms, be self-directed, become entrepreneurs. One of the most important things you can do for yourself is have a writing habit, some sort of journaling habit. This has been one of the most recommended actions to get unstuck of the 140 plus interviews we've done. And it could be something as simple as writing your most positive moment of the day, your most negative moment of the day, just your energy levels, what's stressing you out, whatever you want. You can do just, you know, write a full page in a journal. There's a lot of apps out there like Reporter-app. Which you can, you know, track kind of your happiness levels throughout the day. So that is one thing. Another thing is, as we talked about, hang out with like-minded people. Go find people who are doing what you want to do. That will help transform you. And by the way, the goal of the writing exercise is to get all that awesome stuff out of your head, those dreams, so that way they can finally be in a physical form in the world that you can read them every day, and they can play back into your mind in a different way, in a different perspective, and other people can engage with them. They can ask you questions about it. So that way they'll want to talk about your idea, and they might even be able to connect you with resources or other people who can help you start your business. The other thing, you should have learning goals and really start to identify how you like to learn. That's another thing we've never been encouraged or asked in our life. How do you like to learn? You are always told how you had to learn. How do you like to learn? What do you want to learn? What do you think you need to learn to really be able to execute on your dream or be able to do whatever it is that you want to do? And I would say those are the three things to start with. Those are the things that, you know, if you're feeling stuck, you're really exploring your dream, you know, start writing things out every single day, hang out with like-minded people, and have a learning goal. And those actions, though, turn them into habits. They will take on a life of their own and start you down a path toward your dream. And you can go to unstuckable.co for more helpful advice just like that.
Yeah, I think those are great. That's great advice. And I think that people, I know for myself, that's basically the path that I had to take in order to get to where I'm at right now without even realizing it.
Yeah, you do. That's what's cool about it. It's like, it's these momentum builders, right? You know, it's just putting yourself in more fertile ground, because and it's not about beating yourself up. And I think the other thing I can only add in there as you're doing all this is to try to take some small action every day, whether that is you're going to commit to writing, you're going to commit to reaching out to somebody, or you're going to, you know, even write down something that you want to learn, or just do a quick search on the web to see if you can learn something, read an article, whatever. And no matter how busy you are, you do have 15 minutes every single day to make your dream come true.
So you already mentioned your website, unstuckable.co. Is there any other websites and Twitter handles and how people can connect with you you'd like to mention?
Yeah, you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/unstuckable and at unstuckable on Twitter. And of course, we welcome you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher.
Awesome. Well, I'll have the links on the show notes at howtodream.co.
And I love your new website. So go check out, if you haven't been to Joe's website lately, go check it out because it's really awesome.
Oh, thank you. I really like your website, even though it's very minimal.
Very minimal. And don't worry, there's going to be design changes soon. But it still will be minimal because I am an aspiring minimalist, not in Leo Babuto way, but I always, you know, he is my model. But someday.
You know, I think Stephen, I'm going to have you back on the show for a latter day episode. We'll talk about minimalism and how it can impact your life.
I would love it. I've done so many minimalism experiments. I want to design a whole course about how to purge your life to find yourself. I love that topic. I would love to come back and talk about it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely have you back. And I would love to have you back again in 6 months to a year to check in and see how you're making out with making Unstuckable a household name.
Thank you so much. Well, hopefully. Here's hoping, right?
Hopes and dreams is how this show is powered.
All right, let's all get unstuck.
Yes. Let's join the revolution that is the internet.
Yes.
Well, thank you again, Stephen. I really appreciate your time for coming on.
No, thank you so much. This was a super fun conversation, and I hope your listeners learned a few things out there and were inspired to go after their dreams.
I know I did.
Awesome.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.
Hey Dreamers, Joe here. I really appreciate you listening to Dreamers Podcast. If you'd like to find out how to support the show, please visit howtodream.co/support for all the ways you can help out. Thanks for the support, and please keep on dreaming.